Greetings, guys. We're here to Free Social Radio, 1431 AM. And today you are going to hear a podcast with some friends here, and we're going to talk about Frontex, how they work, what are their roles, and how they achieve them. But also we will talk about how to abolish Frontex and what we can do as a movement and as people to abolish them. First of all, thank you for coming. We really like having a podcast also not in Greek and also about situations and stuff that we talk and we see like through Europe, from Greece to France to almost every part of Europe now. And we can start with an introduction, like what does Frontex do, what are their roles, and where we can see them.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for hosting, and I'm really glad to talk here at this radio. So maybe to start as an introduction, I can maybe give you some numbers. Of course, always the numbers can make a picture of the global situation. And maybe the first one is based on a list which is updated permanently by collectives working at borders, working on the field, or by NGOs that are analyzing what is happening at borders. And this is the huge number of 48,647 deaths at borders, which means death at borders means being killed, maybe drowned at the sea, maybe shot at borders, maybe also suicide after the denial of asylum requests, or it can be suffocating in a car, or someone maybe crashed by a train, or it can be any kind of death that is provoked by the Fortress Europe. And this number, we started to count in 1993. Why we started to count at that time is because it's the beginning of Schengen zone, the Schengen area. So before that, it's always important to recall that it was not always like this. Before Schengen, it was definitely possible to go from Tunisia to Italy, maybe for seasonal work or something, and people were crossing borders and it was not a problem. But then Schengen, so it's like our, as EU citizen, it's our freedom of movement within the Schengen area. So we can go from a country to another, go to work here and there, make business from a country to another, and it doesn't make much problem. But Europe decided that this freedom of movement has to be limited. And it's so they started to guard the external borders. So within Europe, yes, there is easy circulation, but as soon as it came to the external borders, they started to guard it, to control it, and to close it, and then started to have death at those borders. So this is kind of the price of our freedom of movement, this 48,000 people death. And they are increasing, and it's also like, more the years pass, more they are death. So yeah, the more they are controls, more they are death at borders. So that's like a first number. And of course, everything is it's not a disaster. Like always we hear like people drowning at sea, people like there are some kind of disaster. And then maybe Italy will talk about a state of emergency. But it's not a catastrophe, like it's not a natural disaster. It's like something which is like systematically organized and institutionalized. So this is like an intention, a political intention. And there is budget for that. So another number is 5.6 billion. Of euros. 5.6 billions of euros is the budget that was allowed to Frontex. Frontex is it's in French, frontières extérieures, so external borders. So this is the whole budget that is allowed to control the migration and the entry inside EU.
And this budget comes from the whole European Union.
So European Parliament organized this, and it was a request from European Commission. So basically, it's from our tax. Yeah, so we pay it. As EU citizen, we pay this. And it has increased as well. So Frontex was born like in 2004, and it had a budget at that moment of 6 million. And it was a very small agency. They were like maybe 300 employees or something. And now, 2022, the budget was allowed at 5.6 billion. So it's an increase of more than 7,000% of their budget, which is the biggest increase of an EU agency that ever happened. And this budget also for this EU agency is also the biggest agency, the most financed agency of Europe. So Europe politicians decided that migration is a focus where they have to target a lot. And this is one of the main topic where they put the budget, which is at control. Another number?
Yes, please. We love numbers here.
Okay, another one will be, so also Frontex has budgets, but also buy their own equipment. And recently they have decided that from now on, and they decided that 2027, they want to reach the number of 10,000 Frontex agents. And they will be armed. So now they can buy their own, Frontex can buy their own material, and they can even have weapons. So they already ordered like 9mm guns, and some of them are already carrying it. So basically, Europe is building an army which has a focus on migrants, which is like, has of course. Europe is not supposed to build an army. Like at the first creation of Europe, like it was not based to make any kind of army, and now it's not even just an army to pretend it's for peace or something. It's directly like an army for war against migrants.
Yeah, and it's actually an army against unarmed people that
exactly.
go away their homes to find a better environment, and they find a gun.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it's like a war against against like enemy that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
This the whole narrative that Europe is building is to like connect migration as a security topic the representation of migrants is like a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And always all the narratives in the politics will try to justify this budget in surveillance, in militarization of the borders. They will always try to justify it because migration is like a threat for Europe.
Yeah.
And which is made, and I will stop with the numbers now, but also this one, that nowadays, so 2023, there is 2,000 kilometers of wall, border walls in Europe, which is, as to picture it, it's 16 times the Berlin Wall, and it's surrounding Europe. And also we can also compare it to the wall that was super criticized, and it's good that it was criticized, but the wall between Mexico and US, and like Trump in Europe we made a lot of fun or criticism about Trump, who was building this wall, but our wall is almost twice bigger.
I think most people criticized it because we have no picture of what's going on in our own not literally our but in the external borders of our own countries, and like in Europe we have no idea, so this is pretty sad.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard to represent it because indeed, every time we talk about migration in the news, it can be like about, we will see always the same vocabulary, like illegal immigration, irregular immigration. And sometimes there can be some empathy when there are people drowning at sea or something, but they will never really point out the responsibility of EU within that tragedies.
And the thing is that most people they view them as a show, kind of like a dramatic scene that happens, and we have no power over it. All these poor people are dying, and yes, it is very sad and a very big problem that they're dying, but you can't like make a picture of a person that is fighting to get to freedom and make it like viral and everyone talking about it. And when the conversation goes to the borders and the Frontex and the EU, everyone is like, yeah, but we have to like protect Europe, or we can't host more migrants. The conversation has to get to the point, but most people don't see it like that. They just feel like they are watching something in their television, and it's not like some kilometers away from them, and it's not like their own government that is doing all this stuff.
Yes, definitely. And I think you highlight quite well the empathy. Like when we feel it's happening far away from us, like we see, okay, it's not really our problem, but it's really a problem provocated by Europe. And because Europe is also involved in like, let's say, creating social and economical environment in other countries like in Africa and in Middle East that will push people to move. And this is also totally hidden. And most of the, big companies, big corporations that make the biggest money out of this business of Frontex are the surveillance and security companies.
And weapon
companies. So, for example, Thales, Airbus, Leonardo, and they make the best business out of it because they provoke wars in other countries that push people to get out, and then they will make another business to prevent people from coming to Europe. And yeah, there we talk about billions and billions of euros. They are so involved in migration policies in Europe. Like they have meetings with Frontex many times a year. They present their new materials. They are really occupying the space also in Brussels, in the nearby the EU institution. They have a lot of offices for lobbying. They release a lot of reports that will help politicians to sell the new policies that will help increase the control at borders. So they are basically in the most comfortable position for now. They have they make the business out of this.
Yeah.
And I mentioned also the empathy that you highlight, and this is also very hypocritic, and because like we have seen also with the Ukrainian the war in Ukraine, and we have seen like how people can have empathy when they feel that the identity is closer, and that made a very big highlight of the racism, because people openly said, yes, but they are more like us, they are white, they are Christian, and it was easier to host, easier to translate. It suddenly every document was translated in Ukrainian and in Russian. Once it's super hard to find official documentation in Arabic or in Farsi or in Tigrinya or something. There at this moment we could see that it's not a question of economy, it's not a question of capacity, it's only just we want or we don't want.
Yeah.
But this is dictated by some politics. It's not everybody it's not the whole society that accepts that.
Yes, not the whole society, but the whole upper class. Most of them, they will get something out of it. Like we're talking about billions of euros and dollars, and not just to one person that has like the a weapon company. It's not just a person. It's all the politics, all the industry. It's a great business for them.
Yes, indeed.
The business of death.
Business of death, exactly.
So, you say the role of Frontex, and can talk about how and with what material they work and they act, how they achieve whatever they want.
Yes. So, yeah, the roles, they have many, actually. And also it's hard for population to judge Frontex and to have a nice debate with people, because the Frontex is super opaque, like there is no transparency. So most of the people don't know what they do and what are their roles. And it's normal, because it's not in the news. It's never talked. We never talk about it.
It's also because, like, this is some special situations that the most military or surveillance industries have, that it's legal to say nothing about it, and everyone will have to just agree. And
yes, indeed. Here they are supposed to be transparent, and they have like some kind of not even a sanction, but at least the parliament tell them, now you have to improve your transparency, but they're still not good at it. But in their roles, so, okay, they have, like, border control of the EU countries. So they will be at most of the points of the external border of EU. But one way to achieve this is to externalize even more the borders. So, okay, they protect the external borders of EU, but they will also go further and go, for example, in Libya. They will go in Turkey. They will go in Senegal. They will go in, I think they have also in some agreements with Azerbaijan. Like, they basically externalize the EU border even further, so people don't manage to even come to the external border of EU. They will block, like, at every stage. And this is like a point where they really put a lot of money on. Like, right now they really try to put as much money in the externalization of border. But also to run their business, so they control the air, the earth, and the sea. So they are they really have a big picture of all the flux of migrations. So as I said, from Nigeria, Libya, Morocco, Sudan, Tunisia, and then also at the border of EU. So this is one of their role. Okay, they control border and they will try to stop what they call irregular immigration. I can come back to it after, but there is actually no legal way to arrive to Europe once you live in a war country. What they do also is like deportation. They are really like, let's say, a travel agency for deportation. not only the deportation that are forced. So for sure they will do agreements with countries, with airplane companies to make a lot of deportation, but also they will push so much, and they have really big propaganda for that. You can see it in many refugee camps or something, these posters saying, would you like to go back home? We will help you to do so. And this is what they call voluntary return. And it's pushing a lot, so people choose, and it's not really a choice, choose to go back home on their own, and then they will put a lot of money on that. So yeah, they are a deportation agency. They also cooperate with, like, yeah, with other countries, with countries in Europe and country out of Europe, to have a big picture of all the migration routes and stop it as much as they can. And also what they do is like straightening, like at first when they started to exist, it was only a support for the EU countries, the EU state members, just a support to their help. So they provide trainings, they provide materials, they provide help, analysis, something like this. But now they have also their own operation. And what they do also, this one is pretty hard, is that they will facilitate negotiations between big corporations, like weapon companies, and state members. So they will make sure that the states will make contracts with the weapon companies. So this is also one of their roles. Those are all official roles. They do it and it is on their website and they are proud to say that they do. But they have other roles also that are not said and they will always try to deny it and EU will always try to hide it. Greece also is trying really hard to hide what they do right now, which is illegal pushbacks, or every kind of pushbacks is actually illegal, but pushbacks. And pushbacks means like pushing someone back from a country to another, like most of the time just the country before. So for example, people would try to cross from Turkey to Greece, maybe by sea or by land, and the border police or Frontex will push them back to Turkey.
Turn the boat around. And
exactly.
Yeah. Which most of the times has death also. Or,
yes, yes. So at first it's inhuman, of course. It's stopping someone in their move. It's someone who is seeking for asylum. So that's first inhuman. That's also totally illegal because, like, it's not respecting any kind of international convention. And also they are supposed to analyze each situation of each people, like pushing back a whole group of people. It's illegal. But also, even it's inhuman and illegal, it's also accompanied with a high level of violence and torture. So yes, as you said, there are people dying at that moment. There are sometimes rapes. There are tortures. We have plenty of reports in the Balkan routes of like people having the head pushed in the water, people forced to things taken, stolen, broken, removing the shoes, so people are forced to walk barefoot in the forests, losing the dogs, letting the dogs loose so they run after the people and like dogs bites. Burning cigarettes on the skin, rape and sexual harassment. Like, it's huge. Like, the list is long and the violences are... Of course, also, I will maybe highlight this one, is that there is a lot of detention. And especially now in Greece, we have a lot of reports also of people being detained, even in some places that are not at all official. So border police would just take people, put them in some basement, some farms, something, whatever, with no food, with no water, with, of course, no translation, no information or whatever, and keep them there for a moment, do to them everything they want to do, and then push them back. So this is also happening. And everything of this is hidden. So, of course, we have all activists on the scene, all the people on the move who are telling the stories, so we know it's happening, we have enough reports, we have enough proof. But for now, for example, there was a human rights observator who released a report about what's happening in Greece, for example. And he said definitely Frontex has to stop all operation in Greece because what's happening here is like overpassing every kind of torture, violence. Yeah. And the reaction of Greece was, oh, okay, we will maybe make some investigation. But they denied totally that they will, that anything of this is happening.
Yeah.
Maybe about their role also, which is not said in their news, and it's not really like it's, let's say, second, it's an consequences of all of this, is that they are pushing, as we said before, pushing to change or to create a narrative about migration, which is a threat and a security problem. So, yeah, as I said before, this is really one of their role. Every time there will be, for example, a droning in the channel between France and UK, they will always say, yeah, the fault, the responsibility is on the smugglers. So we have to increase the border control and we have to put more money on that. But they are actually creating, like, the business of smugglers. If they make like the routes deadlier, you need to pay more expensive the smuggler to have a safe path. And yeah, like this, they are actually making also a different kind of human traffic business.
Mm.
But their speech will always be, yeah, we are fighting human traffic, we are fighting drug dealing, and we are fighting irregular immigration. That's what they will keep saying. And people just take it as it is.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe a last one as well, as a consequences of all of this, is that they are testing the civilians' materials on the migrants before applying it to the rest of the society. So, for example, they're using... like the fingerprints was for many years like something that we use at border to track the people on the move. But now it has applied also to EU citizens, and it became super normal to give the fingerprint when you make your passport. A new technology, and this one is quite new, is also like to scan the iris, the eye. And this was also tested at border, tested on migrants, and then applied to the rest of the society.
Yeah.
Same with the facial recognition, et cetera. So this business is also going through there. Tested on migrants and then applied to the rest of the society.
Yeah. And actually, these are two, like, the migrant situation gives a place for the scientists and the people that want to work to the weapon company to keep on finding new ways to surveillance and like this is like in Greece, it's up to the university. Like here, in the back of the Politecnio, they're making drones that will go to Evros that are like with facial recognition, temperature recognition, movement recognition. All of these are every part of the society that can make a profit out of it, they will try and make a profit out of it. And of course, the state is happy about it.
Yes, yes. This is a huge business. And I didn't know about the Polytechnio, but I guess,
not only in Thessaloniki, also in Crete, in Athens.
Yes, they search the best scientists to improve it, I guess. Yes. And you just came up to the material, so maybe we can go to that. Yeah, what they use. So they have vessels, like sea vessels. They have aircrafts. They have this 9 and 19 millimeter guns, they have satellites, they have a patrol car, they have heartbeat detectors also in the forest, they have CO2 detectors to put in the cars to check if someone is inside. As you say, the thermal cameras, all the drones, like super high-tech drones. Everything to check the passports and the official documents. Also, in Greece, they have, for example, in the airport in Athens, they have really high-tech technologies to check if a passport is fake or not. Also at the border, near to here, at the border between Greece and Turkey, in Evros, they have also this. It's been a few years. I don't know how many years they use it. A kind of sound cannon that makes the effect of a gunshot. So if you stand close to it, the sound is so high that you feel like a gunshot and you cannot stay around. This is also this kind of... And this is also what you see. They're trying. They're just trying some new kind of technologies to harm people. Yeah.
Yes.
To this kind of material. So they cover, earth, land, air. They have everything. Mm-hmm. In the Mediterranean Sea, they don't actually use much vessels anymore. You don't see much Frontex going by boat in the central Mediterranean because they have such a big cover. They have so many drones, satellites and everything that, and aircrafts, and all connected together because they are connected, to the Eurosur program, the European security satellite. So all together, they are covering the whole area and they don't even need to be physically in this space because they will directly spot a boat in distress, a boat leaving Libya or Tunisia. They'll spot it directly see what's the situation there and contacted Libya, who will pull them back. So this kind of... But they have also help from EU country. Like the members, like the EU members has to provide also some materials. So, for example, they can be human members who will help for operations. So there is a lot of German officers, for example. I think these numbers are from 2021, and there were like 756 German officers 11 Italian aircrafts were given to Frontex, 62 Bulgarian patrol cars, 100 Australian deportation officers. Plus, they will have also money from outside EU, like Swiss, Norway, Iceland. They will help. And the EU member also, they have to react to the demand of Frontex. So Frontex has also a control on, not a control, but a power on the EU member state, because they can call for help. They can say, we need an emergency operation in this spot. And the EU members, they have to react like within like 24 hours. They have to give like money and people who will come. Like it's the role also.
Yeah. I feel like this whole situation is making up space for like new type of war. Like it's not actually it is a new type of war. Mm. It's a war that is way more secret. Like no person of the EU feels it. Like we see it on the TV, we hear it. If we want to like know what is going on, but it's not that. Every like EU citizen feels this war. Yeah, new like technology is happening, which is way more advanced than whatever happened in the previous like big and official wars. And I don't know. All this is just it's a food for thought. Like where is all this thing going? Like how long is it going to keep on? Like trying to push back people and continue to kill people. I don't know.
Yes, and it's like everybody's problems. Like because if we are able to do this at borders, like but politicians will be able to do it everywhere. And yeah, it's just like everything a consequences of the other. And how to say how we consider the person that we consider as the other, how we will treat them is also the way how we can treat ourselves. So it's like all like the picture of the society that they dream of has impact on everybody's yeah. Like for sure.
Yes. And I don't know, all this material that is being used and all this new type of weapons, like sound weapons, or I don't know, it is just every time that we talk about this stuff, it just makes me think like, okay, we will I have no like how is it called, trust that the state is going to use it just for like migrant policy and surveillance. Like I don't know, it's yeah. And okay, this thing that I'm saying is making me feel like we have no like no power. Like the state is just making a huge war industry and getting more and more powerful, and no one can say anything. Everything in the papers is illegal. And whenever, like, even from the news or, like, in interviews or in, like, other people that write papers about it and say that this is, like, totally illegal, totally, like, inhumane, they just get shut down. And Frontex keeps on killing people every day.
Yes, they do, and they do it with a total impunity, like it's almost impossible to have a sanction. But there are some good sides. Like, let's say, recently, last year, the director had to resign because, for example, there was a lot...
The director of Frontex.
Of Frontex, yeah. Fabrice Leggeri, he was, like, really focused on the border control, and he said at some point that he was a bit surprised that EU asked him to respect human rights. he didn't expect it. But yeah, for many years, I think he was working there since 2015. And yeah, he kept increasing the budget, increasing the materials that they can buy, etc., etc. But never had any blame, like, or never had any sanction. But the pressure was growing because it's not really true that nobody cares. There is actually a lot of movements and a lot of people who see what's happening. And there are a lot of reports and there are a lot of articles and there are a lot of people who are caring. And this is, of course, in the just population, like, let's say, people are talking about it, plus association, plus collectives, plus bigger NGOs, plus media. And all of this is a voice and it has an impact. And somehow it touches also the politicians. So some leftist parties at the EU also put pressure on Frontex. Okay, for now, none of them in the EU wants to abolish it. It's only try to reform it, to make it more human, blah, blah, blah. They don't talk about, like, stopping it. But still, it makes a pressure. And in last year, there was this OLAF report, so it's like the office anti-fraud of EU who released a report about Frontex. And finally, it was said in an official level that they are not respecting human rights. They are actually organizing themselves some pushbacks. It's not only Greece, Coast Guard, for example. The report was a lot about Greece. But it's also Frontex knew about it and organized it and financed it. And they also highlighted some corruption into the company, even some internal problem, like some harassment within the agency. And like everything was, the whole report was just a big demonstration of how rotten is Frontex. And right after the report, Fabrice Leggeri, the director, he had to resign. So it has an impact. Somehow, okay, it's a small thing because they keep doing it. But it has an impact. And now, since the new director, his name is Hans Leitjens. I didn't have time yet to know this guy. I don't know exactly his personality. But at least since he came, we can see, okay, he's just keep doing the same. But we can see a change in Frontex is that they have now a very high pressure on showing that they can respect human rights. And they are trying now to change the narrative. So before they were really like, okay, let's stop them, these migrants that we don't want, blah, blah, blah. Now they're changing a bit their speech because they're scared that they had to stop operations. So now what they say, that made me laugh a lot, even though it's not like, it's, not a good laugh, but no. They say that they saved 300,000 people in 5 years. And 26 people in 2022. And I was really wondering, where did they get those numbers? Like, how do they pretend even to save people? From what? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But they justify it because they say every time they call the Libyan Coast Guard, it's like saving people.
Mm. So but they've only called like for 26 people in 2022.
They what? Sorry?
You said it's only 26 people.
26,000, sorry.
Ah, 26,000. Yes. Okay, okay.
Yes, yes. But it's like, it's nonsense. I mean, they killed way more than they saved nobody because they don't even have a vessel at sea or whatever. But what they call saving is actually the pullback to Libya.
Yeah.
In Libya, which had just right now a new report from the United Nations saying that in Libya there are war crime and crimes against humanity because there is torture, slavery, like a lot of things happening in the detention center for migrants. And the UN report highlighted also the responsibility of EU, of Europe, on this. They cannot really accuse EU to make this because they are not directly on the field. But EU is like helping out militias to work there.
Indirectly, but they're killed.
Yes, and it's indirect, but it's quite obvious, the connection. Now they cannot avoid it anymore.
Yeah.
So there are things happening. It's not all, everything is bad, yes. But there are some changes happening.
Yeah.
And also in kind of like pressure that we can put. So I will talk now a bit more about Abolish Frontex and how we can try to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
But when we released the campaign of Abolish Frontex, it was in 2021 in June. there were like more than 40 cities that participated to direct actions against Frontex. And it was also the release of the campaign, and there were a lot of media coverage, international articles and stuff. And within the same day, it was still Fabrice Leggeri at that time. Like, he reacted directly in the paper news also, and he said, "This campaign is a hate speech." He acted really like a victim. "This campaign is a hate speech against Frontex, and I will do everything I can to protect my employees." So he increased also the survey, like the security of his offices. He got scared. Okay, we were just some activists like doing some direct actions, and he got scared. So I think this agency has been very used to the fact that they can act with no consequences. They can do whatever they want. They have enough money and they have all the materials they can. So they are not used to being challenged. So it's also, this is also where we can act, like to provoke them also a little bit or a lot.
Yeah.
So what we can do actually to fight them, I think one of the opportunity that we can have is, there was this study from some leftist organization in Europe, and they made a huge statistics among the population in Europe. Yes, analysis, and they tried to understand what's the opinion of people about migration. And that was a bit, maybe to me it was surprising, but there was a very small minority of people who want the opening of borders, who want more dignity for the people, who wants to host better people. And on the extreme opposite, there was also a small minority, and it was not much bigger than the other one, who wants to close the border, who wants to make the people return in their home country, etc., etc. But the enormous majority of people say that they don't have enough tools to have opinion. They don't know actually what's happening, and they just don't know.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity for us, because we can hear all the time the far right party being so loud and being so noisy, and we sometimes they are so noisy that we think they represent a lot of the society, and we are such a minority trying to fight against everybody. But in the end, the fight is really not over. Like, we have a lot of people to convince.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of ideological fight that we have here. And this is, of course, our anti-fascist fight of every day. But we have, like, yeah, we have an opportunity there. It's not all the people who are against migrants. So in a way to fight, we talked before about the narrative. They are having some type of vocabulary that we use. We can use our own vocabulary also and change the narrative about migration as something positive, as something that allows and empowers solidarity. So that's, I think, talking, making this some workshops, talking like here at the radio, and just keep people informed, raising awareness as much as we can, is really like one of the way to fight. But not only, like, there are also like a direct action to lead, because Frontex, okay, is fighting like in an ideological level, but also like in an operational one. So we need also some direct action to stop them. And direct action can be anything.
Yeah.
Anything. And this also, I think we are more powerful if there is a whole, if there are people acting in many places at the same time. So this is also the goal of Abolish Frontex. We are not an organization. We are not a collective or an association. Is a network, is a movement of people who were probably already fighting against borders for quite a while. They know what they're doing, but now we get together to amplify the voices and to get louder also. And so, yeah, this is now Abolish Frontex is a network of maybe like 200 groups, and they're very various, like they're grassroots collectives, individuals also, they act by themselves. They are also NGOs, etc., etc. We don't have any politicians in there. That was like the limit that we stopped. But it's very various in the kind of collectives and groups that are part of the campaign. And each of them act how they think is good. Like, nobody in the campaign will say, in this place you have this kind of target, so you would have to act this way. No, each group know how it works in their locality. For example, in Thessaloniki here, if you have a group who wants to make an action, they will know better what target they want to do, what kind of level of legal action or not they want to do. And because they know better the repression and stuff of what's happening here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all groups are acting the same, but we try to somehow like be together to coordinate. So we have also like two action dates per year, which are 20th of June, and it's coming. I hope also Thessaloniki will join the call. I can share the call after, maybe to the website or mm-hmm, something. Mm-hmm. We can share that. So there is the 20th of June and the 18th of December, and these two moments, of course we act the whole year when we react to something, but those two dates, like, we try to act all at the same time to hit like powerfully, and it has impacts when we are all together. So Abolish Frontex is, as I say, the movement, and we say abolish because we do not believe at all that Frontex can change in other way, even if they change a name, if they have a new structure, whatever. The fact even that they exist is the problem. So we want to abolish it. And why Frontex? Is because they are just the incarnation of this racist fortress Europe. They are the agency, the physical agency that is easier to target, let's say. It's hard to say we will fight racism in Europe. We don't know, let's say, where to start. Frontex is the incarnation of it. They do everything. So it's like, let's say, like, yeah, it's a target. But also, we know that if Frontex falls, that's not the reason why the whole problem of migration will be solved. So we have also other demands. For example, what we call for is to stop EU to force people to move out of their country. We fight for freedom of movement, to stop the surveillance of people on the move. We want to empower solidarity, to end all the detentions, to stop the militarization of border, also to regularize all migrants and to stop the deportation.
So it's like an abolish border campaign.
It's basically a no border movement, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. And our vision are like anti-colonialist, anti-capitalist, anti-racist, etc., etc. Yes.
And of course, anyone that hears us can find more information about the Abolish Frontex network at their site, which is abolishfrontex.org. Or they can also send an email.
Yes.
Your email, which is...
The email is info@abolishfrontex.org. Yes, of course, contact us anytime. And we are also on the social media, in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And yes, please reach us. And like, the structure can be empowered. We for sure need more people to organize better together. That's amazing if there are more groups that join the actions and that we meet each other and that we organize things together. That's always the best.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can finish our podcast like with a call about the Abolish Frontex movement, like what actions are like wanted, like what can we do, like practically some ideas, some like suggestions. And
yes, so as I said, every kind of action is really welcomed, and I think the efficiency is good once this very diverse, so it can go to very like, I would say, easy, but it's also totally legitimate this way, like just like hanging out flyers, going to glue posters, doing some graffiti, like making some workshops, some speeches and stuff. So this is like also very important, but it can also like go to a demonstration gathering, also some kind of art installation. We had some really cool stuff, sometimes in Den Haag, for example, buy life jackets or whatever. It can be anything. But also it can go to occupation of some specific targets of some offices, or it can be a blockade of maybe a border or a deportation center or an airport. There were also some actions like this, like block an airport which is doing deportation. It can be sabotage of their material. We can be very, very creative. It can be anything. I like to mention always this one because this was funny, but there was this in Canarias, I think in 2021, they just released a very big horse shit stuff on the Frontex office. And, I mean, that's nice. But, you can like drop banners. There were many kind of action. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blockades, occupation. More they are, more it's visible. So, yeah, more we can be seen.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, also, each group decide the type of action course. They want. Yeah. So maybe I can just read the call that we have for the next action day, which is 20th of June. On 20th of June, since the World Refugee Day, Abolish Frontex calls for an international decentralized day of action for all anti-racist and no-border collectives, for all groups fighting for people on the move, rights and dignity, for all anti-fascist action front, for all association and NGO who work for freedom of movement, for all individuals and groups who strongly believe that Fortress Europe has to fall. Abolish Frontex Action Day is a day to amplify our voices and a day to act for the international solidarity and to get loud against the banalization of xenophobic speeches and the rise of structural racism. The EU border regime is worsening and keeps on killing. This year is again one of the deadliest years in the Mediterranean Sea. In Italy, the fascist government is passing one racist law after another to criminalize migration and solidarity. Greece is straightening their border wall, keep pushing people back violently at sea with the direct help of Frontex and prosecuted sea rescuer. In Lithuania is straightening their border wall and passes a law authorizing volunteers to be violenced against migrants. In Hungary and Bulgaria, border police forces keep humiliating and torturing people at border. Belgium still avoids finding housing solution for asylum seekers and leaves 2,500 of them in the street. Poland pushes back, detain, hurts and humiliate people on the move and prosecute activists. In the meantime, the EU continues to arm and finance the central actors in this deadly border regime. Plans always more detention, more deportation, more surveillance and more migration control agreement in non-EU countries as Senegal or Tunisia and Libya. Fortified borders, surveillance infrastructures, systematic push and pullbacks, and the financing third countries to torture and kill people on EU's behalf. On the World Refugee Day, we remind that the EU has blood on his hand. Today's borders policies reflect EU's long and uninterrupted history of racism, colonialism, exploitation and violence. On 20th of June, we want to take our protest against this racist system to the streets internationally. We invite you and your local group to organize actions against Frontex and EU murderous border regime that day, or to integrate our demands to abolish Frontex in your protest. Handing flyers, dropping banners, graph, street posters, gatherings, speeches, art installations, demonstration, occupation, blockage, sabotage, forcing a barrage. There are many ways to take action and we can be creative. Find more information about Abolish Frontex movement and ideas for actions as well as the list of Frontex institutionalized and operationalized location on abolishfrontex.org. And you can contact us in info@abolishfrontex.org and inform if something may happen in your city on this occasion.
Super. That's a very nice call.
Thanks.
Okay, so we will end the podcast here. Thank you for coming and for talking about and for calling us to your
action day.
We hope that we can help with that. So yes, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
If we will say it one more time, if anyone has questions or want to talk about this or want to support this project, we have already said abolishfrontex.org. You can contact them through their email.
info@abolishfrontex.org.
Yeah, or if you want to email our radio phone, it's radio@1431am.org. So you can email either the Abolish Frontex movement or our radio. And yeah, we will post this online. We can also put links and the call and spread the call and the information that we talked. I think it was a very informative podcast. And yeah, keep on. Let's keep on fighting until every border is abolished.